Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here for Fireside Chat number
295.
Any plans for number 300?
Yes.
Oh, well, at least did you get to see Mr. Tubbs? Was he at least visible for a moment?
He was. Yeah. He's still a little
visible. He's still in the puppy phase, although he looks very big for a puppy. He is, after all, an English bulldog. Dennis Prager with the Fireside Chat. Thank you for tuning in, as they say in America, because I know a lot of you are not in America. Well, this is a not unique, but a somewhat different opening, and because it's very personal. So I've been thinking a lot as a result of receiving a note. Two things. Opposites, literal opposites, happened in my life in the recent past, and I would like to talk to you about it. So I have often been asked, do I have any regrets in life? And to be honest, I have very few, and I'm very, very lucky to be able to say that, because my life has been a blessing. But I got a note. A note was actually forwarded to me. It wasn't to me, it was about me. And it made me realize I have one big regret. It's not anything I could have done anything about, but it is a regret. And I'll explain it to you after I read to you a note that was forwarded to me that came to PragerU from a viewer slash listener in Portugal named Nuno. He's in Lisbon, Portugal. He is Portuguese. And this is what he wrote. I'd just like to thank Dennis somehow for the wisdom I've received from him the past 2 years or so. I remember being in my early 20s and hearing about Prager being a right-wing extremist and this and that. But after starting listening to him now in my 40s, I realized none of that was true. Watched all the Fireside Chats, watched all Dennis and Julie, and listened to the radio shows now and then, as well as the five-minute videos, the No Safe Spaces documentary, the film that I made with Adam Carolla, and so on. So he's really immersed himself in my work. My girlfriend and a cousin also got addicted after I advised them to have a go. I've also been a bit disconnected from religion since my teens, but Dennis's approach to it made me reconsider some views. I'm reading his Rational Bible series after finishing the book on happiness and understanding that there is definitely a source of morality and truth above government. And while not being an American, I've come to realize how special your American values are. Finally understood the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and so on. Overall, the contrast versus socialist Europe where I live, and concerning how so much of that is being eroded now. A bit of random rant here. I don't think I'll ever meet Dennis in person, so maybe you can thank him for me, just for bringing some sanity and wisdom in this current chaos. Sorry for Otto. My girlfriend loved his stage appearances. Anyway, just wanted to say thank you. Nuno, Lisbon, Portugal. So this really touched me. Of course, I receive a lot of beautiful messages, and I'm grateful for all of them and to all those who wrote them. But I'll tell you why I'm reading this to you, because I don't know if I've done that in the past, and why this triggered a realization of what I said was my one big regret in life, where he wrote that he ignored me for almost two decades, from his 20s to his 40s, because he had heard that I was a right-wing extremist and a whole bunch of other things. And I want to contrast this and then tell you about the regret that this triggered with a letter sent by 37 professors at Arizona State University to the dean or president of Arizona State, for having me and Charlie Kirk speak there a couple of months ago. Charlie Kirk is, as you know, the founder and head of Turning Point USA. So it's like a perfect way of my illustrating what this regret is about. Dear Dean Williams, this is from the faculty of one of the colleges of Arizona State. It's an honors college called Barrett College. They're the ones who brought me a center that is no longer in existence since we spoke there. By the way, this subject went viral in America because it was a lead opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal about 10 days, 2 weeks ago. You could, of course, easily see it there, by the woman, Ann Atkinson, who invited Charlie and me, as well as a couple of others, to speak at a health, wealth, and happiness seminar. And she wrote about having been essentially fired by Arizona State for having brought us. So this is just a little of their long letter to the dean of Arizona State. Again, 37, I believe it is, it might be 39, professors out of 45 who teach at the Barrett College there. Dear Dean Williams, we, the undersigned Barrett faculty, write to condemn the health, wealth, and happiness event at the T.W. Lewis Center for Personal Development, which is scheduled to host on February 8th, 2023, and to express a vote of no confidence in the leadership of the Lewis Center. And then they go on and say that they really believe in free speech, but they shouldn't have us. That they really believe in free speech, of course. Okay, we have objected. Okay, our objections to two of the scheduled speakers exceed these previous worries, that is of the others, by an order of magnitude. Dennis Prager and Charlie Kirk are purveyors of hate, who have publicly attacked women, people of color, the LGBT community, as well as the institutions of our democracy, including our public institutions of higher education, by platforming and legitimizing their extreme anti-intellectual and anti-democratic views. Barrett College will not be furthering the cause of democratic exchange at Arizona State University, but undermining it in ways that could further marginalize the most vulnerable members of our community. While their national media profiles are familiar to most, beneath our signatures, we have compiled some of Prager and Kirk's most recent bigoted and anti-democratic public positions. So let's see, they go on to say how bad it is. What kind of impression does it give to our BIPOC? BIPOC is what once again, people of color is POC. And what is BI?
Black Indigenous
people of color. Students and potential students to see that during Black History Month, Barrett is hosting two white nationalist provocateurs who have decried the social prohibitions on using the N-word and called for the cancellation of Black History Month. And that's okay. So you see, so they didn't want us to come. I am a white nationalist provocateur, a hater, attack all of these groups. So now it's an interesting juxtaposition. The professors at Arizona State University, description of me. I'll leave it to me. Charlie can certainly defend himself. By the way, just for the record, hater Charlie Kirk, do you know what he spoke about his entire 30 minutes? I was there. I could tell you. The Sabbath. He's a Christian, and he was explaining why he has taken in the Jewish Sabbath into his life, that one day a week from Friday night sunset till Saturday night sunset, he doesn't even use his cell phone, just as an example, and how people need that in their lives. That's the hate. I, in the meantime, was speaking mostly about happiness, since the subject was, in fact, health, wealth, and happiness. That was what it was about. There was a prominent physician there, and Robert Kiyosaki, a rich dad, poor dad, a wonderful human being, and very powerful book about how to do better in your life in terms, in financial terms. So we were the speakers that evening. So who's right that I am all of these things that they described, this hater, this bigot, this white nationalist, or the man in Portugal whose life has been immeasurably made better because of the things that I have said in the course of my life? Well, they can't both be right. That's clear. That's what led me to my regret. And then I'll deal with some of the things that they cite. So you should know this in case you ever hear of these descriptions of me. And I want you to understand the only reason that I am even raising this is not to defend me, but is to explain this regret. What is my regret? I know that I have brought a lot of good to a lot of people's lives. Just, I'll give you one relatively small arena you may not even be aware of. I have done a male-female hour on my radio show every week, every Wednesday, for about 15 years. You have no idea how many couples have told me in person or in writing that this helped their marriage immeasurably, in some cases, saved their marriage. So the regret that I have is that all these attacks, they don't bother me personally. All they do to me, frankly, is prove that I'm effective. If I were not effective, they would ignore me. So the fact that I am so hated by the people who have these views, like these professors, says to me I must be doing something effective, which it is. It is effective. But that's why I have this big regret. Because of all the hate thrown at me, people like the guy in Portugal, the man in Portugal, wouldn't listen to me, wouldn't read me, wouldn't watch me, because they heard how horrible I am. That's my regret. Not personally. I don't think I'm horrible, for the record. But because it has deprived any number of people, I don't know what that number is, but it's large, of actually having a better life because of some of the things that I have written or spoken or broadcast or podcast. I use every possible medium to get my ideas across. When I was in high school, and I think I did mention this, I wrote in my diary, I know what I want to do with my life. And these were the words I wrote: to influence people to the good. I am preoccupied with goodness. That's my preoccupation. There's a lot of evil on earth, and I'm preoccupied with goodness. So how does one explain all this hate? Well, believe it or not, a lot of people don't like goodness. Or they think they do, and they do a lot of bad. How many kids leave college meaner than they went in? And I'll give you an example. They went into college pretty much attached in some way to their parents, at least to one of the two, if they have two, and then come back pretty much loathing their parents in many cases, maybe millions, because they have learned that their parents are really bad people. If they're white kids, they learned that every white is a racist. Itself a lie of such grandiosity, it is almost impossible to describe. And by the way, it is white people, among others, who are always saying all whites are racist. So why aren't they speaking about themselves? If some man got up and said, you know what, all men are rapists, wouldn't you assume he has raped? Who's he speaking on behalf of? Is he excluding himself? Of course not. All anything, if they're a member of the all, they're speaking about themselves, and they are. The greatest racism by far in America today comes from the left. All black dormitories, all black graduations, lowering standards for blacks. I can't think of a more racist thing than to say blacks cannot live up to the standards that others can. That's about as racist as you can get. That's Ku Klux Klan territory. But that comes only, or almost only, from the left. So yes, I have this deep regret that because of all the hate directed against me by these people, there are many, many, especially young people, who won't watch one of these fireside chats. Many of you have seen at least 200 of these, or 100 of these, or all 294 prior to this one. Did you ever hear anything bad? Did I ever say anything that you think was immoral or hate-filled or racist? I mean, that's a lot of time, and it's all spontaneous. I'm not reading pre-existing scripts. You would have thought one would have come out. You know, here's a very interesting observation. Again, it's so often outsiders see you clearly in some ways the way you can't see yourself. So I get a lot of public mail, obviously, at DennisPrager.com, for example, aside from PragerU. So in my first days of relating to Julie Hartman, this young woman that I do the Dennis and Julie podcast with, she would do some work in my in this very room. This is my office in my home. And she made a brilliant observation. She said she went through maybe 1,000 emails. She said, there wasn't one racist email. Wouldn't you think if I were this white nationalist, fellow white nationalists would reach out to me? Dennis, you're the man. Keep it up. Keep up that racist jargon. Not one. Are they not listening? It's a gigantic, unbelievable lie. I know about gigantic lies. I wrote a book on anti-Semitism called Why the Jews. And the greatest national lie in history was directed against the Jews. And that was that Jews would kill Christian children and use their blood to bake the Passover bread called matzah, the unleavened bread of the Passover holiday. It was a grandiose lie. It never happened, not once. And in any event, Jews are not even allowed to eat animal blood, let alone human blood. I mean, it was a gargantuan lie. Jews were tortured, murdered. All the Jews of England were expelled, I think, in the 16th century or maybe the 17th. I think the 16th century. Maybe even the 15th. I'm such a devotee of accuracy. I don't want to mislead anybody. But in the Middle Ages, all the Jews of England were expelled, and that was the biggest reason. They were killing Christian children to use their blood to bake matzah. People can spread evil lies, and they end up being believed. That's what's happening with regard to me, and much larger than me with regard to America, frankly. So my regret is these lies about me have stopped people from, prevented people, not stopped, prevented people from watching a fireside chat or reading one of my books or viewing any of my lectures that are on YouTube or my work for Daily Wire as well as PragerU. And it's a sadness to me because it could have helped their lives a great deal. So I really will. I think I should devote if you think it's a good idea, I really look to you for advice. Answering the stuff Prager said, and have answers. So I'll do that another time. Okay. I wanted, because otherwise there won't be any time to take your questions. But I did want to share a very personal realization of, I really do believe that my ideas can help people be happier, kinder, more mature, get married. Oh, that's a real piece of hatred. That's the only one right now I'll cite. This one was a great one. This is an example of the hate-filled rhetoric of Dennis Prager from the professors at ASU, Arizona State University. This one cracked me up. Yes. Along with wanting a man, the vast majority of women wanted to marry, yet the left has successfully undone that part of women's nature too. Now, is that hate-filled or what? That I want women to get married. Ideally, by the way, I understand not all can, but ideally to a man. I don't know why that's hate-filled, since I would happily say that about men and have. Nathan is a living example of how much I annoy men to get married, just for the record. Okay, that's the regret, and you can help by saying to people, wait a minute, you won't even watch, how about just 3 fireside chats? Throw a dart at any number between 1 and 295 and pick 3, okay? or any of his videos at PragerU, of which there are 55, or any of his work at Daily Wire. They have a beautiful series of talks that I give up at Daily Wire. And tell me, what exactly is hate-filled? Read his book on happiness. Now, that's a real hate-filled book. As we all know, books on happiness really produce white nationalists. It's very sad, but you can help by saying to them, wait a minute, if you have an open mind, or if you even think you have an open mind, give this man a chance to touch your life. Okay. Time for your questions. Okay, here's the first one. Whoops, there's... Okay, here we go.
Hi, Dennis, it's Anna. I have a really quick question for you. I know you're really well-traveled, and I was wondering, outside of the U.S., what country do you consider to be the most free? Thanks. Bye.
That is a toughie. That's a very tough question. But it's interesting because I just returned from 2 weeks in Eastern Europe. I gave a speech in Bucharest, Romania, but the most of the time was with 150 what we call Prager listeners. And it was about my 25th or 30th year of doing cruises somewhere in the world. And we cruised the Danube River and went from Hungary to Bulgaria. It was fantastic. And I write a weekly column. There are 1,000 of them, by the way. It's another chance to see how hate-filled I am. Read any of the 1,000 columns. That doesn't take long. They average about 800 words. And I wrote a column that in some ways I felt better in Europe than in my beloved America. There are people, there are Americans I know who feel conservatives who are worried sick about America and its suppression of dissent for the first time in American history outside of World War I and Woodrow Wilson. The suppression of speech in the United States. Do you know the latest example? A professor of biology, I don't remember what college, is put on leave because he taught that there is an innate sexual difference because of the chromosomes. Women have double X and men have X and Y chromosomes. And he was suspended for saying that we're actually either male or female. A professor of biology, who, by the way, is black. And I only mention that because normally if a black professor of biology is suspended, they call it racist, but not if the left does it. I hope to have this man on my radio show. For a biology professor to be suspended or even fired, perhaps he will be, for saying that we have different chromosomes, so we're different sexes, it gives you an idea of where the 37 professors are coming from philosophically. Truth is not an issue. The ideology is an issue, not truth. So anyway, what country might be freer? Right now, the greatest creator of bad ideas, of toxic ideas, is the United States of America. It's difficult for me to say because I have worked my whole life on behalf of American values and truly love this country. I mean, love, I don't use the word often, but it is a love. To see something you love ruined is a very painful thing. Very painful. And the greatest thing of America has been its freedom. And the most important freedom is free speech. If you cannot say what you think, you are in a degraded state. It is degrading when people cannot say what they think. I saw this in communist countries. People were rendered in a sheep-like state. So yes, I think that there are European countries where you are freer to say what you want. There is almost no European country that does to children what America does to children who say that they are the opposite sex. They don't give them, hormone blockers. They don't do that almost ever in Europe now. This is almost only in the United States and Canada. That's a problem. So to answer your question, in terms of some basic freedoms, we might be behind some European countries today. It's a race because there are many other things that are prohibited because the EU, the European Union, blocks so much speech, especially now with regard to science. I don't know the status of a doctor in Europe who says the lockdowns were a catastrophe, which, by the way, I said in April 2020. You can look it up. I said on the Fireside Chat, on my radio show, in a tweet, and in a column, that it was the greatest international mistake ever made. I distinguished mistake from evil, but it did, in fact, a terrible amount of harm, especially closing schools to children, which Sweden did not do, by the way. And the children turned out much healthier, both psychologically and in terms of health. Okay, and there we go. All right. Melody in Chicago. Hello, Mr. Prager. Interesting that you just returned from a trip to Eastern Europe. I just returned from a trip to Poland. My grandparents emigrated to Chicago in the early 1900s. While in Krakow, the only rainbow flag I saw was on the U.S. Embassy. That's right. I was part of the tour group, and many in our group commented as to why our embassy could not fly its true flag instead of an agenda. That's right. Also, in tandem with your comments on families and children, we saw young families with their children walking in the Plenty, a walking park that borders the old city of Krakow, and also saw families with their children in the main square chasing after pigeons with such glee. As you stated, it's like the USA in the 50s. Well, I don't have much to add, except we experienced very similar things. By the way, the rainbow flags on American embassies and on the White House, I would not want on the White House any flag other than the American flag, even if it was a flag for something I believe in. There are many things that I believe in, but the White House is supposed to be for all Americans, not for one ideological group. It has nothing to do with anti or pro-LGBT. It's anti or pro keeping the White House, quote-unquote, inclusive. What is inclusive about having an ideological flag draped on the United States or on its embassies? Okay. Adrian, 45, Bucharest, Romania. Hello, Mr. Prager. I've had the pleasure of seeing you twice in Bucharest. I can assure you those were the most pleasant events I was part of. If you have or had a role model in your life, and if so, who was he or her? Ideally, I think every boy would see his father as a role model, but as you said in your comments about honor your parents, many boys do not love their fathers. Still, from what I've heard you talking about your father, there is a good chance you might be one of them. I didn't have a role model until I was in my 30s, and I now encourage my 18-year-old son to look for such a role model, even if it's somebody in his life or some public person. Thank you for everything. Well, you've certainly been listening carefully. So yes, I acknowledge that when I was a kid, I didn't have a particular love bond with my dad. That is true. It changed in the course of my life as I got older. But yes, he was a role model. And you know what? Having a father who was a good role model is more important than how much or how little love you have for him or how loving he might have been toward me as a kid. Not very, which was, by the way, not rare for that generation, the World War II generation. But he was a role model because I thought of him as a particularly ethical man. I'll tell you a story about my dad. I wasn't born then, but this is the story. My father married at a young age, or not for that time, but for now, certainly married. I think he was 22. And he had a child, my older brother. at the time. And then World War II broke out. And my father, having being married with a little child, was exempted from the draft. I believe that was the situation. But my father enlisted. He didn't think it was right, as he put it, I'm not going to fight Hitler because I'm home with a baby. He thought the idea was repulsive. And he risked his life for 3.5 years. And ironically, he never ended up fighting Hitler directly. He was in the Pacific the entire time fighting the Japanese fascists. That's a good role model. You do what is right, even if you have to take a risk. So yeah, in the final analysis, he was one. And that was apparently it played. I didn't realize what a role it played in my life until later, which is very common. I must say, with my own sons, it always cracks me up when either of them will come out with a quote that they heard from me when they were a child, and I would have bet my house they didn't remember it. But they remember everything. And it's a good thing if you gave them good values, and I hope I did. And by the way, as regards having a role model that you may not even know personally, I can't tell you how often in the course of my radio career, men would call up, usually men, but often women, but usually men, and they would say, I just want you to know, Dennis, we're not even that far apart in age, because I've been broadcasting 40 years. I was very young when I began. But it started pretty early that guys would say, I just want you to know you're a father figure to me. And I thought the first time I heard it, I didn't know how to react. Maybe even the fifth time I didn't know. But as I kept hearing it, I thought, good. I'm glad that I could serve that role in your life. And then I came to another realization. That's what every male should aspire to. Being a father figure, a role model to young men. That's the best thing a man could be. Doesn't matter how much money you make. But if you can, in fact, be a role model to younger men, you have truly justified your time on Earth. So this is a pretty unique fireside chat because of that personal realization I came to and shared with you about the one regret. Anyway, we all march on, certainly I do, and this role model thing, I invite every young man watching. When you are asked, so what do you want to be when you grow up, or what do you want to do with your life? If you answered, I'd like to be a good role model to young men, you will have done the greatest service you can do with your life. See you next week.
Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.